This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. It's time to step up to the plate with Jim, Steve, Fish, and former two-time Gold Glover World Series champion, Benji Molina.
A swing and a miss, and that's the winner! That's the winner! A World Series winner for the Cardinals!
Ranger, that is! In the left field, December 3000, a run is scored!
Smith courts one into right down the line. It may go! Go crazy, folks! Go crazy!
A high pop ball! The Clover's there! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant! The Cardinals won the pennant!
Breeze hits it in the air to center. We will see you tomorrow night.
Swing and a miss! The Cardinals are world champions for 2006.
In the air to left, well hit. Back is Craig. What a team. What a ride. The Cardinals are world champs in 2011.
Hello, Cardinal fans. Welcome to this Monday morning edition of Two Birds on a Bat, your St. Louis Cardinals fan podcast. I want to welcome into the studio. This is two times in a row. It's like a monumentous occasion. Let's welcome in our man and yours, Steve-O. What's going on, pal?
Oh, I'm here. You know, it's I usually got to take a break till after Super Bowl. You know, New Year to after Super Bowl, you got to take some sort of break.
I don't get a break.
Well, no, of course not.
Well,
you're making like, what do you get, $1.2 a year to do this show?
$1.2, like $1.20. That's about you're on to something. You're definitely on to something there. Yeah, whatever. Let's welcome in the real talent of the show, all the way from his home in beautiful Arizona, and of course on the m4byyachty.com hotline, everybody's favorite Cardinal fan, the one, the only, Benji Molina. What's going on, pal?
Hey, hello, Cardinal fan. Sorry, man, I had to do that.
Here you go. You trying to imitate me? You making fun of me? Are you making fun of me?
No, I'm trying to see how I sound, because you sound good.
Oh, yeah, I sound good, all right.
Hey, Steve-O, what's going on, man? You made it, buddy.
I made it. Hey, so you guys don't know. I got to give Cromer a little trouble here. Oh. So I walk in, you know, I've been gone for a couple weeks, come in the other day, and I didn't get a whole lot of time back in the bullpen where all these guys sit, but they've upgraded furniture, okay? They got a lot of stuff going on back there. Now they're trying to grow, like, basil and these little grow stations back there. I'm not sure what's going on. Cromer's not bought into it. I don't think he has one of these grow stations on his desk. You'll see it when you get
into... That bus has been great.
Well, you're going to see it when you come into town, and I'm sure it'll look like a forest in there. It'll look like Jumanji back in there by the time it's all done. They must have 30 of those things back there. Chrome, what do you think? What's your opinion? Put you on the spot.
Let me tell you, Steve-O, Jimbo gets paid seven figures while we get paid gift cards. Come on, man. That's not right.
Okay.
Hey, I do know this, though. When you come into town, Chrome's going to have to open up that wallet, and he's going to be buying us lunch at Pappy's and Gus's Pretzels and Emo's. And
I think we got to make a list. We got to make a list.
Without a doubt.
You guys need to start earning your keep around here, and then maybe I will. How about that?
Wow, there's a shot.
Don't try to hide it. Don't try to hide it, Jimbo. Don't get mad. You know, people, they should know. They should know what you get paid. All right.
Hey,
Speaking of which.
Let me tell you something. If I did make what you guys think I make, this thing would be – we'd be off the hook, fellas. We'd be doing all kinds of fun stuff. How about that?
Well, we're planning on it.
Well,
we have fun here, man.
That's right. We have fun.
Can we talk a little football? Who you got this weekend?
Oh, I don't – I mean –
I got the Patriots, buddy.
I got the Patriots. I like the favorites. I like Tom Brady. Even though I'm a huge Cowboy fan, I want to see Brady win another one.
I'm just not
sure. Me too.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you don't go with him. But you know what? This game always proves to be interesting. I mean, I don't know. I mean, can the Eagles do this? They can. You know, I mean.
No, they can. They got the defense, but I don't think they can stop Brady, though. I don't know. It's kind of weird. We'll see, but.
Well, how do you stop Brady? Stop the guys he's throwing to. The problem is you can't cover these water bugs.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited because you get Super Bowl. then you can you watch a little Daytona 500, and then you're right into baseball season, right? You're right there.
Yeah, man. I can't wait to spring training games. Not even practice. Practice? Who talks about practice? I'm talking about the game.
The games.
I can't wait for those games.
Benji, what's it like? Now, I've played in some of these complexes out there in Arizona and Florida, and I've been to a spring training. But what is it? I mean, take us through some of that, like the backfield stuff, all the work. What's a schedule like for these guys? What are they working on spring training-wise?
Oh, wow. You get in, and the first 2 weeks is pure training. Obviously, the bullpen, if you're a catcher, you're going to catch like 3, 4, 5 bullpens a day because you want to get used to your pitching. But that's work, too. So what we do is we set out at 9:30. We go outside, start stretching for a half an hour. The next half an hour is conditioning. So you either run the bases or you either run the whatever conditioning they have, like poles to poles or home the first, whatever conditioning you got. And then after that, you loosen up your arms, and then you go straight to bullpens. Once those bullpens are gone, remember, pitchers and catchers, so there's nobody else there. So when the pitchers are done, all the catchers, which is usually like eight of them, six of them, they go to hitting. They go to BP, and then you're out. Obviously, you got to go work out if you do. You know, if you're a guy that likes to work out after or before, it depends on who you are. So that's how we do it before the whole squad gets in. Because when the whole squad gets in, we get 2 extra hours. 1 hour is working on defense, and another extra hours is working on the BP and hitting. So it's a long day once those guys get in. But the first couple of weeks, it's real easy for us. You always kind of anticipating who's coming, who's the next pitcher. I want to catch this guy. I want to catch that guy. I want to get used to this guy. So it's pretty fun. It's pretty fun, man.
Well, we got, we know that the season's right around the corner here. Everybody's getting ramped up. I mean, what are we down to? We're under 20 days, right? Pitchers and catchers, it's 19 days maybe, something like that. The Cardinals are definitely still front and center with Cardinal fans as far as the offseason goes. So my friend Steve-O and I, as we mentioned on the show Thursday, by nature of a friend of ours, and I, Benji, I know you know him because he throws BP for the Cardinals, the St. Louis University head baseball coach, Darren Hendrickson, every year to kick off their season does a first pitch dinner, and it's a fundraising event for his program. And people pay, I don't know what it is, like $100 or $100-something
a $125 seat. $125
a plate, and you sit up, and he always has somebody come and speak. Well, he started this 10 years ago, and the very first person that ever spoke for him was Mozeliak. And he said, it was great. And they've continued it ever since. He's had Bruce Fleming in. He's had Andy Benes, Jim Edmonds, Randy Flores spoke. I mean, he had Don Dinkinger and Whitey Herzog together on stage. He's had some amazing stuff go on with this dinner. So this year, he got Mo again. And Steve-O and I obviously go every year. He invites us, and we go. And we were able to sit up close and really hear Mo talk. And I was excited about it, although I got to be honest with you, and I'd love to get Steve's take on this. When I heard he was going to be there, I was excited about it because I thought it's usually a pretty intimate deal, and the guys are pretty candid and talking. But Mo's so close to the vest and dry, comes across things like that, I thought, man, I mean, I wonder what good's this really going to be at the end of the day. If he's just going to get up there and give you a bunch of cliche stuff, these people are paying $100-something a plate, right? So we get over there, and he comes in, and let me tell you, he's exactly as served, right? I mean, he's pretty, like, a couple guys try to joke around on the way in, and he's pretty, I mean, like, Steve-O tried to joke with him when he walked by me, and I don't think he was really having any of it, was he?
I mean, yeah, I said, Benji, you'd love this. I said, hey, Mo's walking by. I go, hey, Mo, if this guy, and I'm pointing to Jimbo, I said, if this guy asks a question, don't call on him. You don't want to find out what is on his mind.
And he said something as he walked away, and it was him being funny, but it was
a smart-ass comment.
It was a smart-ass comment, you know.
You know, yeah, what's it going to be, another one of these dumb questions or something like that?
Or it was something funny or whatever, but, and I took it as funny, and that's fine, but, and again, I wound up getting to talk to him afterwards for 5 minutes, and you'll like that, too, Benji, when I tell you what he said. But so anyway, he gets up there, And Dan McLaughlin does the emceeing. So it's Dan and Mo. And, you know, you're sitting there thinking, okay, you know, there's always a couple guys every year that ask the questions that, you know, they put the guys on the spot. So you're sitting there going, okay, somebody's going to ask him about the bullpen. Somebody's going to ask him about not signing this guy, not trading for this guy. Not. So you've got in your mind all the things that people are going to ask him, right? You've got that in your mind. And I'm not kidding you. He did a back – I'm going to tell you as I sit here today, if anybody thinks they don't pay attention to what the fans are saying, they're crazy. Because he answered every question in a back and forth with McLaughlin that the fans are crying about on social media. Did you catch that, Steve-O, or am I wrong?
Oh, yeah. It was almost like it was pre-written.
You know, now, his answers were very candid.
Very good. Yeah.
They weren't scripted like, okay, I'm going to tell them what they want to hear. So I don't know about you, Benji, but does that surprise you that Mo would be that open and candid in an event like that? Knowing him
No, he's very straightforward. And then when you say he's a smart coming, you know, like a smart ass coming, that's who he is, man. I don't know, you probably weren't there, guys, but we had they were presenting us as a Spanish radio speaking guys, and me and Paul were there, and all of a sudden he comes up to Paul, and we can ask Paul later, but he come up to Paul and he says it's smart-ass, you know, coming, and I know Mo because I've been in meetings with him for players when I was a coach and things like that, and I don't know, but he's always been that guy like that, you know, like he always have a smart comment. But that's probably just his personality, man. You know, that's who he is. That's why when you were saying all this, it didn't surprise me. And then you asked me like, hey, man, with these, what do you think about these? Would these surprise you? I'm like, no, it doesn't surprise me about Mo because I know him a little bit better, you know, than most. And I've been close to him for when I was coaching and stuff like that. And then by Yadi. And being there for Yadi and stuff all those years, so I know kind of Mo, and he's just like that, man, just like you were saying. That's who he is.
Yeah, and like I said, I was really shocked, but I mean, Steve-O and I, we literally like you don't go. It's not a media event, okay? So nobody's sitting in there with a notepad and taking quotes from him, and it's in the paper the next day, right? But I'll tell you what, after about the second thing he said, and Steve-O and I, the second time we looked at one another, we started like taking our phones out and just taking things down because we kind of like whispered to one another, this would be great for us to talk about on the show Monday, because I'm telling you, they were really interesting things. So we're going to go through a few of the things he said, and then you can kind of chime in and say, well, you know, and say yes, no, maybe from your opinion and do that. What do you think? Does that sound like a good idea?
Yeah, sounds great, man. Let's shoot it out.
All right. So before we do that, though, we want to remind everybody, check us out at twobirdsonabat.com. It's where you can subscribe to the show. It's absolutely free. You'll get a notification when the show's out. For your listening pleasure, by listening to podcasts, you can listen to it when you want to do it, how you want to do it, where you want to do it. So that's why you're a podcaster, no doubt about it. Check it out, twobirdsonabat.com. Do your shopping through Amazon there. Help us with our production costs. We get a very small referral. Click the Amazon banner. Go do your shopping. You're done with us. There's no upcharge. We just get a very, very small referral if you buy anything through our link. Thank you so much. We have some people doing that. We really appreciate it. Social media, again, happy to have everybody involved in anything that we do. At Birds on a Bat Show. Love the back and forth. Please know that whether I agree with you or disagree with you, I still love doing it. So, and again, happy to do it. So find us at Birds on a Bat Show. Facebook, that's our big ask of you. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page. Click invite your friends. If you have any friends that love the Cardinals or just kind of like the Cardinals or are baseball fans in general, we'd love for you to invite them to like our page. You just simply, next to their name, you'll see the invite button. Click it. That's all you got to do. We would greatly, greatly appreciate that. And, of course, you can find us on Instagram as well, at Birds on a Bat Show. Happy to be a part of lineupmedia.fm as well, guys. They're the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. Yo Radio is launching, and you're going to want to check that out too by simply typing in Yo Radio. You guys are going to love it. It's an internet radio station with all the different stations. They're going to have a dedicated baseball station as well on Yo Radio. Again, great stuff coming from all the folks at lineupmedia.fm. Okay, let's get into this, and I'm going to say this is going to be, you know, Randy and Stephanie obviously are a big part of our show, and we appreciate everything they do for us over at Innovative Companies. I'm going to say This will be our innovated heating and cooling segment only because, I mean, this was so hot and cold, this take, Steve. Or am I wrong? I mean, it was crazy, really, like the stuff that was being said.
Well, I think it...
Well, it was very honest.
It was honest. I think it's going to give our listeners maybe a little insight into Mo's and the Cardinals' thinking on how they approach it. And I think if you can put yourself into their shoes, maybe it'll give you a little less heartache out there. But as a fan, you're always going to want the moon and everything
right.
else, okay?
Right.
But if you understand his thought process and what their mission is from an organizational standpoint, I think all of a sudden you can sit back and go, okay, that makes sense. I get it. This is what we're rolling with.
Well, I'm going to tell you I'm going to tell everybody right off the bat. So the very first thing is, and Benji, you've said it since the first day you were on this show, and I think everybody knows it. I think what we have a problem with is this word business, right? When we say that the Cardinals are a business and they're going to run it like a business, we automatically go to a negative place. And why is that? Because a solid business does what? It doesn't have wasteful spending, right? So sometimes we look at organizations and we look at the trouble they're in as a result of what? Wasteful spending, and we don't care. Because what do we view? We view the Cardinals as a cash cow. I've said it, and I don't think they would deny it, that they are very profitable. But I think the thing that they're very honest about is they want to make sure they're always profitable and aren't going to do anything so that while everything's fine today, they're not going to do anything so that 5 years from now they're doing what the Marlins or somebody else did. Now, fans are going to listen to that and go, Jim, I don't want to hear that bullshit. There's $3.3 million rolling through those turnstiles. They got a big TV deal. I understand all that. But just like anything, and I go back to the very first time I ever had a conversation about profitability with one of the guys at Anheuser-Busch, and it was out of the warehouse I was working out of. And the guy and I said, well, I don't know, how much money do you make on a case of beer? Because I was doing a profit and loss thing for a deal I was working where you had to do an actual business plan. And so I needed to know what the profit was so that if I was going to spend this money. And the guy said, I'm not prepared to tell you that. And I said, why? I don't understand. How am I supposed to do this if I don't know? He goes, maybe you shouldn't be doing this then in your role because I'm not prepared for you to know how much we make on a case of beer. And I was very taken aback by that. Like, what are you hiding? He said, I'm not hiding anything. He goes, here, I am going to tell you because I'm going to make my point. And he told me how much they made on a case of beer. And I said, okay. He goes, okay, so now because we sell 1.5 million cases, in your mind, you're going, holy cow, these guys make a bunch of money every year. But a guy like you, I don't know if you do or not, do you take into account that the lights cost money and insurance costs money and taxes and labor costs and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And by time all that's factored in, we don't make that a case because we have to cover expenses. So the Cardinals, I believe, if you had an honest conversation, would say, we have a lot of expenses that nobody knows about, right? Like, I think Benji has alluded to that as a player. Yes, players make a lot of money, but their window is shorter. And we talked about it with Yachty. Does anybody have any idea that Yachty has people on staff that he has train him, cook for him, do it, because he's trying to be the best player he can be? These are all expenses the Cardinals aren't paying. Yachty has to pay those, right? He's paying for that guy to travel. He's doing all this. Same thing with the Cardinals. So first and foremost, right out of Mo's mouth, he made sure to bring up the fact that it's a business, and his job is to win and make money. It's to put a quality product on the field, but it's also to make money for his owners. Did you get that, Steve-O?
Well, absolutely, and I think he drove that point home when the question was posed to him, what is your best trade, you in your mind, what you thought was your best trade?
But the hardest.
And then what was your least, like, one that you thought was a failure?
So before we get to that, before we get to that, I want to get Benji's thoughts on the business side, because, again, I think that when we hear business as a fan, we go to a negative place because business to us means – you're putting money in your pocket instead of spending it on the field, which is what we want as fans. Your thoughts on that, Benji?
Well, I always said it. It's business first for them. He's trying to please DeWitt. Obviously, he's the president, you know, and DeWitt, he works for DeWitt. And then the GM is trying to please Mo and the owner. So the first thing they're going to do is, like, how do we please this guy? We make money, but we don't spend money. And how do they do that? They get a quality team out there. They get 3 million fans on the seats for the whole season. And I'm not going to go as far as they can care less about winning the whole thing, because that's not fair for them. But as long as they make that 3 million fans, they're making money. And I told you guys, I heard this from an owner. I didn't hear it from the fan or somebody that doesn't know. No, I heard it from an owner. Every owner is very excited and happy as long as they get 3 million fans on the stadium. And that's their goal. Put a good team enough that's going to fight and it's going to go and bring all those fans in. But let's not forget that they went out and got Ozuna. And let's not talk about the money, but they're putting a good lineup on the field. Don't talk about the offense. The offense is set. The only thing that as fans we didn't like was the bullpen help that he got hopefully he does, but it didn't actually sound that great at the beginning. He doesn't sound great right now. And the starting rotation, he probably is going to go young. And I don't know, man. I don't know if you guys saw how the Brewers are, making moves, and they might end up getting Darvish too. So, and then the Cubs, we already had those battles last year. We have to have that bullpen. We have to have a bullpen help. No matter who you are, we have to have the bullpen. But I don't think it's going to happen. I don't know about you guys. I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I really don't think it's going to happen. I think they're happy with what they have, and that's it. Like DeWitt said, we're not making any more big moves. So,
well, I tell you, we're going to get to that because he covered this stuff, which is what this was some of the stuff that he said that it's like he's usually pretty close to the vest about. So we're coming to that. Once we got past that point, and like Steve was saying, the comment that showed the business side was something that I found just absolutely amazing that he said. And that was this. He used it, like he talked about this in a different text, but then brought it up as the business side. And that was, they asked him, what was the best and the worst trade you ever made? It was a pretty simple question. You know, it was a very basic, simple question.
Yeah, what they meant probably was rudimentary speaking. Okay, did you get, Lou Brock for Ernie, whatever his name, Broglio or whatever his name was, right? That's what I think the question was meant to be. And right. He went completely opposite.
That's right. So he said, well, quite frankly, the best trade he ever made, and it was also the hardest, was the Alan Craig trade. And he said, he had grown very close to him. He said he had, I guess, did he say he had drafted him? It was his guy, all this kind of stuff. Cause that was really at the end of the day, what his stuff was. So, so he was all like, so he said he had come to grips with it, right? That he was going to have to do this. And, basically he said, I'm coming to grips. I go downstairs and I'm ready to just do this and move on. I'm excited because, my owners are excited because I just traded a guy that's really struggling, that's owed $25 million for a guy that we felt was really going to help and solidify our starting rotation that was set to make $550,000 the next year. So we had a plus $25 million trade happening. So I'm all excited and ready to go, and I go down in the clubhouse and everybody's crying and everybody's bawling and everybody, and it's like, he goes, people don't understand sometimes when guys are like that, so one, a lot of people thought, number one, I've heard on social media 1,000 times, he traded Alan Craig because Mike Matheny wouldn't stop. That's not why he traded Alan Craig. He traded Alan Craig for $25 million, and he said it flat out. So, he came right out and said that. And then on the flip side, it came up about the analytics thing, which we're going to get to in a minute, and he said flat out, the worst trade he ever made was Khalil Greene.
Yep.
He said he had a scout come up and tell him, do not do this. You do not want this guy. And he ignored the guy and made the trade anyway. And he said it was the worst trade he ever made, that guy had real issues. Didn't matter what the numbers were. This guy had real issues, and he shouldn't have made the trade, and he wished he could have had that one back.
But that one went into the whole, what were you expecting? And that's what we were expecting, like, when the question was posed was, okay, yeah, I get it. Khalil Green, bad trade.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have done it. But when he went on best trade.
Yeah, he went right out with $25 million. Goodbye.
Right. Was not about talent received. It was all about the bottom line profit into the Cardinals.
$25 million net gain. He said Craig was owed like $25.6 million, and we were going to pay, what's his name? It's a $25 million gain.
Yep.
And he was. He was not shy about saying it. So, again,
if that not tell you guys how business is, like how straight up business is baseball? I mean, if that doesn't say it straight up, I don't know why. Because, I mean, come on, guys. I told you guys, it's business. It's not about the guy. You know the trade I didn't like for real. I couldn't live with the Alan Craig trade. I couldn't live with. I didn't like that Green guy trade at all. But many guys didn't. But you know the one that really, really pissed me off deep in the heart? Joe Kelly. You know why? Because Joe Kelly was a guy that could be a lights-out reliever out of the bullpen, throwing 100 miles an hour, and they knew it. And even if he had a so-so year, he was a guy that he was going to give you a spot start, and he was going to give you the 7, 8, and maybe 9th inning relief. I mean, don't you want to have him back right now? I mean, even if the guy is so, you know, even if the guy is not so great, but he can still be halfway good, but all of a sudden, we have those. We have those in the past, in the bullpen, but he throws gas, and he might have find himself in. I mean, he had a good year last year, so. That trade, for me, that trade hurt me more than any other trade, man.
Well, my guess would be, and I wasn't in the room, but my assumption is to get Boston to take Alan Craig, they probably had to give him Joe Kelly. That's my guess. So, anyway, I was just really intrigued by that. So then moving on, because we got a little more to cover here. So then he talked a little bit about the Cardinal bullpen. And knew it was a topic. And this is where he went into the pitching, basically in general.
That's what I want to hear.
Well, let me tell you. They talked about it, and he basically said, and I mean, I'm not going to, this is as good as a quote as I can get. He basically finished his conversation with saying that you got to weigh what something costs, what something is, versus what you have. And he basically said that they have guys that they believe in to the point where they were not willing to spend money on guys for long-term contracts that were going to block these guys who they're not sure are any better than what they already have. And what shocked me was the two names. Now, I know he came out, a month ago and said if the season started today, Gregerson would be our closer. And I have no doubt that maybe that is who will start the season. But he flat out said, we have two guys in the minors right now that we think very highly of, and let me tell you who else thinks highly of. All other 30 teams, because we got the most calls. He goes, now, Reyes, we could trade to any team right now and get just about anything we want. But the other two that everybody called on were Hicks and Helsley. Yep. He goes, and I'm telling you, those two guys' makeups, I think you'll see those two guys closing games for the St. Louis Cardinals by the end of the year. Did he not say that?
He
or
did.
Am I crazy?
And what'd he say? Jordan Hicks throws like 102. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, he's like, look, this guy throws like 102. He's like, Helsley's, they compare him to Trevor. He goes, I could see both of these guys closing games for the St. Louis Cardinals by the end of the year. He goes, these are guys, he goes, our young pitching, and this is what he said. We are at a point now where our young pitching is coming sooner rather than later. So then, and then I'll let you follow up on this, Benji, because I want to put it all into one because it all kind of ties in. I'm sitting there thinking the one question I would ask Mo is, because here's the thing with me. Okay, I feel like I wanted this. But here's the thing. If you came out and told me, you know what, we're going with our young guys. We think our young guys are every bit as good as the guys that are out there. Because here's the thing. You can believe that or not. I don't really care. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. They got to live with their decisions. If you would have come out and said that's our plan, fine. But they didn't. They said they were going to address this, they were going to address that. So my question to Mo, if I was to, like I always said, if I had a question, if I could sit down with Matheny and have a beer, I'd say, you got to tell me why you kept playing Moss. You got to tell me. Did he have naked pictures of you? What? Because of all the things that I think that you do that you're a little misguided, that one was off the rails. Okay? And again, even the whole veteran thing over a rookie makes no sense with that because it was so bad. With Mo, I would sit down and say, Mo, I got to ask you. Do you, because he's done this more than once, do you ever say things because you're trying to appease the fan base and then 4 months later go, I wish I wouldn't have said that because I led the fan base on? I would love to ask him that. I don't know if I would, but I would love to if the situation was candid. And mind you, he did agree to come on the show. It was funny when we were done and I did get a minute alone with him. I said, hey, John, Jim Crone, blah, blah, blah. And he, hey, Jim, you know, and I said, you know, I don't expect you to know of our show. I do Two Birds in a Bat with Benji Moline. And he gives me that dry look and goes, I may have heard of it. And I kind of looked at him and he kind of smirked at me. And we all know about the thing that went down a year ago with the Yachty thing on our show and everything. So, and again, we said this all the time. And Mo even said, he's like, Benji didn't say anything that wasn't true. So I have no issue with what Benji said on your show. He's like, he was absolutely right. So tremendous. That he's actually aware of it, whether it's for a good reason or a bad reason.
I think
reason.
He's a subscriber.
He's probably a subscriber. But, no, I thought it was funny. But so anyway, so he's talking about these relievers, right? And then somebody asks him, well, and then this guy flat out says to him, but I still think you're a number two starter away. If you guys believe Martinez is an ace, I still think you're a number two starter away. And I mean to tell you, he looks right at this guy and goes, okay, so you think we need a number two starter. All right. Who doesn't? He goes, that being said, I'm sure you're referring to you, Darvish, and Jake Arrieta. Yeah, I mean, I think Arrieta and Darvish. He goes, okay, yep, both fine pitchers. Let me ask you a question. Because he said that in his mind, the number one player that can put us over the top this year is Adam Wainwright. He said if Adam Wainwright can pitch like he has in the past and is healthy, he thinks if you add him to what we have, a healthy Adam Wainwright that can pitch like Adam Wainwright, he thinks we are a really, really good team. So when he said this, he goes, but, you know, we're going to have to see where Adam is. It's a big if, you know. So the guy says this to him, and he looks right at him, and I'm not kidding you. He goes, do you like Adam Wainwright? And the guy looks at him and goes, well, and the guy says, well, I appreciate everything he's done for the organization, but, and as he says, but, Mo goes, us too. But I ask you, do you like him being on the Cardinals this year with that contract? And the guy just looks at him, and he goes, because if I sign Darvish or Arrieta, that's what you're going to get in a few years, is another guy with that contract at the end of his career that may or may not be able to get people out. And I'm not sure that we're prepared to do that for that length of time for a guy that hasn't done for this organization what Adam Wainwright has done. Then he says, and by the way, you know, we have a guy, maybe you've heard of him, Luke Weaver, and I personally like Luke Weaver better than I like both Darvish and Arrieta. And Steve, did he say that?
He did.
Your thoughts on all that pitching comments from him?
The only thing I don't like, you can compare Wainwright right now to Darvish and Arrieta. Arrieta can easily pitch five more years in a good high level, easily. The way he takes care of himself, the way he approached the game. Darvish, well, I don't know. He came from Tommy John, but you know how the Japanese take care of themselves. They eat well. They do all these things. So comparing Wainwright right now to those two guys and say that Wainwright.
He didn't
better,
compare Wainwright to them. He compared Weaver. He said he liked Weaver better than them. He said.
No, you're talking about the contract. The contract.
Oh, okay.
But then he said something like, you said that he was mentioning something like, okay, you're going to have the same type of pitcher because of Wainwright in a big contract, just the same way. And I'm like, no, I don't think so. I think if you sign that guy, those two guys, they're easily going to give you four good years, each of them. They're going to give you four really good prime years. And you'll see. Maybe we'll see. But then I was going to say about the pitching. I like Weaver. But he cannot tell me he knows what he's going to get out of him.
No. He didn't say he knew. He said he liked him. Said he liked him.
Yeah. He cannot say to anybody that he knew that that the Luke Gregerson was going to give us, you know, like innings or whatever. He didn't know that. So for him to say that to get all these guys out there doesn't make a team better or something like that, it doesn't add up, man, to me. And like I told you before, guys, think about what he said. We think. What did we say in the shows before? The only reason that we're not going to get it closer, the only reason we might not get a bat, the only reason we might not get a starter, if it's they think what they have is best out there instead of going to get a guy. Didn't we say that
yep.
all together
yep.
in the show?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's the only thing that was going to keep the Cardinals from getting any of those guys. It's that they in their head. Not what it is, because you're gonna tell me that Greg Holland is not better than Luke Gregerson? Bull crap. You can't say that to me in my face. You can't tell me that hand guy or Colomé in the trade or somebody like that is better than Gregerson or whatever. Come on, man. You're not gonna tell me that. So it's what they think in their head. Yes, they have those two young guys in the minor leagues. Nobody knows how those guys are going to be. Greg Holland, he's done it. He's closed out games in the past. He's done it. And he's going to show us 30 saves, 35 saves, maybe 40 saves. But those guys that he mentioned, they're only potential, bro. I'm telling you, that word is a killer. The word potential is a killer because these ownership and these GMs and sometimes the manager, they go by that. They go by potential, and they don't know. Those guys, you don't know what they're going to do, man. Even Weaver. Weaver had a half a year, and all of a sudden he has potential to win 15 games. Well, my mom has potential to steal 70 bases. So you know what I'm saying? So, but that's the only reason why they think in their head they can do this is because, oh, no, I don't care who – the Cubs had. I don't care if the Cubs got better. I know the Cardinals, what we have in our heads, we're better. We're going to beat them. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
That was the only thing in their head. If they thought that, we're in trouble. That's
well,
the only thing.
And again, you kind of look at how they view this thing. And, you know, they were talking about I forget which one I was going to go to next. You know, he talked about Carson Kelly. And that whole thing. And Steve-O, to finish on the other thing, Steve-O, did you not get the feel? Now, he didn't say this, but like the 5-year thing came up. Did you not get the feeling that the way he was throwing out time frames for people, that if for some reason Darvish or Arrieta would say, yeah, we'll take 3 years from you, that now we might be a little more inclined because of the age thing he was comparing? Like, it was almost like 3 years, yes, 5 years, I'm not prepared to pay for their last 2 years of their contract. That's kind of how I took it. Did you take it that way?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I mean, it goes into their whole
without
business.
Specifics, because right. He said more than once, look, I'm not going to break any rules here. I'm not going to do this, but, you know, these guys aren't under contract, and I'm not going to lay all our cards on the table. But basically, you know, it was that.
Yeah, you know, he gets into their business model more than anything is what I took away from the conversation. And we can go back to that. We can continue on with kind of the player stuff. But back to the beginning of what the Cardinals' business model is and what their belief system is and how their analytics work and what I think the future of Cardinal baseball looks like. I think he kind of got into opening behind, you know, moving the curtain away so we could see behind that a little bit.
Well, and the analytics thing you brought up too, I really thought he basically said, you know, he did say, because when somebody had asked him, we think there's a blend between the analytics and old school scouting.
And they call it stout.
They call it stout.
Statistics and scouting
and
stout.
And the stats that we see, like a lot of these guys, and again, I'm going to talk to Mo's algorithm about it on Thursday, but some of the stuff you can find online, they don't necessarily, that's not what they're using. According to him, they're way past that stuff. They have their own stuff.
So their business model is they have their own analytics and they place a value to everybody based off of those analytics.
And that's what Mish's specialty is.
Right. And then they actually play.
Or Gersh. I'm sorry.
They actually play what we would reference the guys that grew up in the 80s, war games,
right,
with every club because they're trying to win 90 games.
That's right.
So they base their analytics and their values, and they compare them to everybody else that they're going to play, and they map out a roadmap
to get 90 wins
because they feel 90 wins gives you a shot at postseason.
And then and then from there, you kind of go.
Now, so every year, they build it to win 90 games. Sometimes they win 105,
right.
Sometimes they win 82.
So he had brought up the Pujols thing and how hard that was on Mo, and it came up. And, you know, Mo talked about what a struggle that was because of the situation being unique. And then Dan, you know, you knew somebody was going to ask about Stanton. Dan didn't mess around. He just come right out and said. But then you were willing to – and I thought this was interesting, too. I was wondering if you caught this. He said, you know, you were willing to take on $300 million, though, from Stanton. And he said, well, that was a unique situation. Now, we found that to be different. He goes, and did you catch this? He goes,
appease the fans.
No, it wasn't just that. He goes, when you're talking about making a financial commitment of $295 million, so that was his way of saying, that's how much we were willing to take. Did you catch that?
I caught it.
Okay. He goes, it's about more than on the field. Obviously, we thought we could accomplish a lot of things here. We felt he was an iconic player that could help us on the field, but we also felt he was important for our business. We felt he would show – we felt we needed him or something like that to show people, hey, we're for real. We are in it to win it. We are doing this. In the end, baseball decision-wise, I think we got the better player, to be completely honest with you, in Ozuna. But from a business standpoint, from a showing players around the league, we are committed to winning. He said that.
Yeah.
We are absolutely 100% in, and we would have been happy to have him.
But he also said that he knew early on that they really probably didn't have a shot, and that he went through the whole thing in order to show his fan base, the Cardinal fan base, that we are doing it, what we need to do to try to get these top-notch players.
It wasn't a token offer.
He went through the whole exercise for real to try to get him, but was glad he did, even though he knew he didn't have a shot.
So I took it as he could have bowed out because it sounds to me like he knew. Sounds to me like he knew after they met with Stanton
in L.A.,
that he wasn't coming. And he said, and this is where it got real interesting. He knew it because Stanton looked right at, like, you know, they were talking, and he said, he looked at him and said, hey, Mo, so if I come there, like, what's high-rise living like in downtown St. Louis? And he goes, you know, what do you say? What do you say to the guy?
We're going to buy the old Clarion.
Well, you know, they're, you know, he goes, once he started in on the city, we knew we were in trouble. And then Mo kind of went into, the city of St. Louis has better figure some things out because they're affecting not just the Cardinals, they're affecting a lot of businesses and their ability to get things done in St. Louis because of a lot of the things that are going on. So he kind of put St. Louis,
the social issues up front,
and the lack of growth and things like that, and was not shy about saying, we're doing our part. We're doing our part. You know, yes, Bell Park Village is a revenue generator, but it's a risk, and we're doing it.
Right,
we're moving forward. Where's everybody else building downtown? So that was interesting, I felt, to say the least, as well. Your thoughts, Benji?
I think he's just saying to everybody, and he very, very clearly from getting for what you're saying, that he said, he's just telling everybody, we're going to do, if it's going to be the big deal, it's going to be a Stanton kind of player. And if not, we're gonna be conservative. We're gonna reserve our money to the, you know, when the contract guy comes out and we can sign him or we don't. And meanwhile, we're gonna have a team that's gonna win 80 games to 90 games. And in our head, we have a team that's gonna win 80 or 90 this year. So this is what we're gonna go for. So he's not saying anything new in my head, man. He's not saying anything new. That's just straight up business decisions, but he cannot look at us straight in our eyes and say that there's no players, there are no players out there that can help our team from what we have now, especially in the bullpen, because that's what I've been based on the whole time. You're not gonna tell me. We hope that Brett Cecil do well in the second year. We hope that Gregerson come out lights out. We hope Tyler Lyons keeps pitching the way he is. We hope Brevia does his job, you know, good. But you cannot compare the bullpens of the Cubs or the bullpen of Milwaukee even, or any bullpen. You can't compare those bullpens to ours right now. And he cannot look in the face of anybody and say, I love my bullpen. You'll never hear him say that. You know what I'm saying?
So yeah, I think he knows it's a work in progress. You know what I mean? I think he feels like it's going to be a work in progress. And, you know, I don't – you know, it's funny. I'm looking forward to kind of breaking it down a little bit and looking at it as we go further, because I find it interesting this – to your point, listen – I mean, and listen, I think you're dead on, Benji. And then – so take what you're saying and then take what Mo said, and I'm not kidding you, this almost screams 2011 to me. You know, okay, Salas was our closer. Remember that? Fernando Salas was our closer in 2011. And I think everybody was going, are you kidding me? And then they had this young guy, Jason Mott, who comes out later in the year, kind of like the 85 Cardinals did. The 85 Cardinals had five different closers, if you remember,
right?
Before Todd Worrell came up at the end of the year. So, again, I'm putting my opinion out there. I wanted to make sure that people knew that some of the things we said were our opinion, but there were some things that he said that really flew us.
Jimbo, do we have a Jason Mott, maybe a Jason Mott right now in the bullpen, but do we have a Jason Mott before, right, and one of the closest at that time? Do we have that in our bullpen right now? Do we have the guys that you just said, Fernando Salas, who takes the ball daily? And then do we have that guy over there in the bullpen right now? I don't see it.
I wasn't a big Fernando Salas fan. He reminded me of Ryan Franklin.
You weren't, because you weren't seeing it how a manager. Fernando Salas is a gold medal for a manager, because you guys see the numbers. Yeah, he gave it up. He had maybe a 4.50 ERA, but when somebody was needed to be out of the hole, like a manager didn't know who to bring, the everybody's down with the arm tired. Fernando Salas was the one who put the face on and took the blow. Fernando Salas was in the seventh inning. Fernando Salas the next day was in the eighth. Fernando Salas took a little bit of a massage in the arm and took one day off after pitching 3 days in a row. One day off, and was next game, he was in the ninth inning trying to close that game. That's a freaking gold medal to a manager. Might not be for fans, because they see the 4.50 ERA, and they're like, shoot, man, that guy again? I mean, he's going to give it up. But for a manager, for players, they need guys like that. One guy in the bullpen that's going to be able to come in for you at any moment, at any time. Ryan Franklin. Ryan Franklin was another gold medal for St. Louis, because he closed games. He threw the seven. He threw daily. And he threw a start once in a while, start, and give it a spot start, five innings. Even if he gave up six runs, he gave you five innings that day that nobody could pitch. Nobody could pitch. He took the ball and gave up six runs. But he gave the bullpen, he gave Mike or whoever, five innings, most needed five innings. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He goes beyond the numbers. Those guys mean to us inside our clubhouse.
The last thing I want to touch on before we go, and Steve, I was wondering if you caught this. I wrote this down. When the Carson Kelly and Yachty thing came up, he was very quick when somebody said, how do you see that playing out? And he looked right at everybody and goes, that's Mike's problem.
Yep. And that's the thing. I guess to put words in somebody's mouth, Kelly basically told him, I'm done with AAA.
Yeah.
I've proven what I needed to prove there.
Almost like the Cardinals asked him, look, this is what it is up here.
Wait, 1 second. Let me ask you guys something before we keep going. What did Kelly said that he was done with AAA?
Well, no, he said, no, wait, hang on.
Let's paraphrase.
Well, hang on. No, I'm not going to paraphrase. I'm going to say exactly what he said. How about that? Somebody asked him about the games, like, did he see an ideal number of games? And he said, well, you know, I'm not going to put an ideal number on it. He said, do we want Kelly to play some? Sure. He goes, but, and then he kind of, and he said it jokingly. He goes, That's Mike's problem, and kind of snickered. And then he said, look, we understand the situation is you have a great, great, iconic catcher that is still getting the job done. It's going to be hard to find playing time up here. And basically, you know, Kelly has said, I've done everything I can do at AAA. He said
that.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, like almost.
Did he play AAA just 1 year?
Yeah. Well, I have no idea, but BMO, whatever.
I thought this last year was his first year in AAA.
Well,
How the hell did he improve in AAA? In my head, right? I'm not talking about you guys, but in my head, how the hell did he prove to me that he did everything he could in AAA? How? Just one freaking year. 1 year, dude. When before, and Steve-O and you, Jimbo, you all know, you had to do stuff. You had to pay your dues 2-3 years in AAA before you came up. That we're in a different era right now. But he knows that Yadi's going to be there for 3 years unless injury or something. Hopefully not. But that's the only way. So what did you prove to me in AAA, buddy? 1 year, man. That's what I want to know. One freaking year, and he hit what, 280? 280? He didn't hit 400 in AAA. It's not like he hit 400 and you can say, okay, that guy doesn't belong in AAA. Hold on 1 second. That guy hit 400.
He played 32 games in 2016 at AAA, and he played 68 games there in 2017.
And then up to the bigs.
And he proved that he got nothing to do in AAA? Come on, man. That's laughable. That's not even a discussion.
Hey, I got a hard take for you, because Yachty's contract came up too, and Mo seemed to snicker that he was done after 3 years.
Yeah, Mo almost acted like we'll see if he's really done.
Yeah, Mo seems to think that there's still life in that body. So, but I did have a couple of opinions. Go ahead.
I don't think he's done. I think he got one more year, maybe two. I'm telling you, Yadi is a workhorse. We're not talking about just anybody, man.
Right. Well,
Yadi is a really, really crazy dude. He takes care of himself. He's eating well. He's working out really good. His body's in check. You guys will see. I mean, it won't be a surprise to me if he plays two more years.
We saw those pictures that he sent. I mean, the ones he sends of working out.
That goes into my final point, is that one of the things.
We'll make it because we're out of time.
One of the things he did say, it's a podcast. We got time. One of the things he did say is that they're spending a lot of resources looking at foreign training methods and nutrition and everything like that, how the guys over in Australia do it with rugby and things like that. And it almost reminded me of like the Russians with Ivan Drago.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, I know that that's one of the things that they're looking at, that these guys, they train and how they can keep them on the field and healthy and recovery and everything.
As I mentioned with Yachty, I mean, who do you see Yachty with all the time? His guy, the guy that's his job is to make sure Yachty is doing the right. He's not just jacking around. So, well, hey, listen.
No, Yachty's black belt, dude. Yachty is a marathon runner. Yachty, it's a bicycle runner. Yachty working out, a heavy lifter. Yadi is working out a baseball. That's normal. But Yadi works at every single thing. Yadi's a yoga machine. I mean, come on, man. That guy is sick, man. That guy, the way he worked out, I wouldn't surprise me at all if he plays two more years after the contract.
Well, I'm glad we got to most of the stuff that we heard from Mo today. I think, there were some interesting things that were said. There was a couple things we missed that we'll cover on Thursday, but for the most part, I think we got to it. I want to thank everybody for listening to the show today. I want to thank my partner in crime here, Steve Flowers, for everything he does with us through his new mortgage company, USA Mortgage. He made the announcement. The contest is still going on. All you got to do is call and ask him a question, and you're registered to win. Steve-O, what's that number?
618-655-0483. Number's still the same.
Call him with just a mortgage question, and you're entered to win two tickets to Cardinals opening day 2018. Don't forget to find us on Twitter, @BirdsOnABatShow. Hit us up on Facebook. Simply type in Two Birds on a Bat, like our Facebook page. Invite all your friends to like it as well. Check out our website, twobirdsonabat.com. Subscribe to the show. Do your shopping through Amazon and help us out there. Happy to have you guys part of that experience. And don't forget all of our friends at lineupmedia.fm, the fastest growing podcast company on the planet. As brought to you each and every week on the M4byYachty.com hotline, our good friend and yours, Benji Molina. Special thanks again to Randy and Stephanie Green, the innovatedcompanies.com. Don't forget all the arms underneath there for all your construction needs, heating and cooling, electric. Randy and Stephanie Green, 35 plus years of experience, folks. Randy is a second generation craftsman. He's the guy you want working for you. Fully licensed, bonded, insured. Don't forget our friends at innovatedcompanies.com. For everybody here at Two Birds on a Bat, we leave you with a Let's Go Card.
Go Birds.
This podcast was a presentation of LightUpMedia.fm.